Good afternoon. Today I have with me Hima Madala. She's an engineering leader at Disney. Hima, welcome to Managers Club.
Thanks, Vidal. I'm so excited to be here and share my two cents.
Awesome. It's great to have you. Hima and I were talking earlier about managing through crises, outages, you know, these kind of really tough situations. And I know you have a lot of experiences with that. So let's just jump in. I'll start with a simple question. How do you strike the balance, Hima? I know you manage a bunch of teams there, between fostering a culture of innovation and risk-taking where there could be mistakes and minimizing the impact of mistakes and outages.
Most common times when we want to encourage innovation, we're trying to encourage out-of-box thinking and we're trying to encourage people to take the path unknown, right? And when you do such things, there's success, and at the same time, there's mistakes that happen, which are sometimes not so pleasant. So when that happens, as a leader, you have to stay away from, punishing whoever is responsible for it, right? Instead of encouraging that kind of culture, you encourage a culture of learning, right? And you tell your team that it's okay, mistakes happen, we fell off the cliff, we'll dust off and we'll stand up and get over again. Right. So that kind of attitude helps people take more risks and that fosters innovation.
I think that's great. I want to get to some examples in a minute. But on that point, I think that's great that you don't want to blame people. But how do you also balance like accountability? Because people make mistakes or a lot of mistakes. This can actually cost money and have negative impacts. So how do you balance that?
So in order to balance that, what we have to do is make sure we have some processes in place, not to the extent that it becomes red tape, right? So these processes will help us assess the amount of risk that they're taking. Are we taking calculated risks or we are just going into the Wild West and doing crazy stuff? So these processes also help us collaborate with the rest of the team and others who are also working on similar initiatives. And it is a second opinion on we are just taking calculated risks.
I see. Okay, so you choose the risks you take, calculated risks. So we talked that you had some hard life experience. You said you had some times when your team faced major crisis, outage. Could you maybe walk us through a couple of those and how you manage the situation?
So I've been through multiple crises, which I think every engineering leader will go through. It's only the magnitude of the crises that are different. But irrespective of that, it's just an intense time of stress, complexity, and difficulty. To give you an example, right now I'm head of the data platform team at Disney Streaming, where we develop the infrastructure and we have about 15 data engineering teams running on the platform. So there was a situation where the whole platform went down. There was some script that woke up and did some crazy stuff. Because of that, the whole platform went down. And it's not just that. A lot of infrastructure resources were deleted, which means all these 15 teams that were operating on the pipeline have completely come to a freeze. No data ingestions were happening. No data was flowing. All the reporting was stopped. So it was a very difficult situation for us to handle. And me being the head of data platforms, it was a test. It was really a test of my leadership. Other example when crises happened was I was at this startup and there, we were dealing directly with the consumers. We had some kind of a payment model with them. And incidentally, an email went out to all of these consumers, which was not intended. And with a payment that would just not be possible, it's not feasible to do. The company would just simply be bankrupt because it's a startup.
Oh, okay. Right. A mistake.
Yes, it was a big mistake and it happened under my leadership again. So yeah, these were two examples. And one other minor issue happened was where somebody put some keys, right? Cloud keys on the public internet, which would let a lot of people access our sensitive data.
Oh, wow. Like, okay, that's a big mistake. That happens though. People do put these public keys out on GitHub. And let's dig in a little bit more of these examples. How did you communicate with all your different stakeholders, right? Your upper management, right? About these mistakes or errors. And then with your peers, then also down to your team when these things happened.
Yes. So whenever there's a crisis, like you mentioned, there are three parties here. One is your senior leadership to whom you are answerable, right? And everything, suddenly when a crisis happens, you're like, oh, am I going to get fired? Is this going to affect my promotion? So many things come to your mind, right? But then there's also two other parties here, which is your team. Right? They're as much or more panicked than you, right? They're probably going through the same feelings that you are going through, right? And the third party here is your peers, right? Be it your consumers, right? If you're directly dealing with your consumers, or when I was heading the data platforms, all the data engineering teams that were running on the data platforms, they were my peers and my stakeholders, right? So how do I communicate with them? What do I tell them to gain that trust back? Right. So these are the three parties, right? And to all of these people, and especially to your senior managers, your senior leadership, and your stakeholders, the communication part is very important, right? So it's very important to be transparent with your senior leadership. Tell them what exactly happened, and then own your failure, right? A mistake happened, like own it, and then make sure that we are very proactive in your communication, and you communicate at a cadence, right? You tell them what is wrong, what is the plan in place to fix it, right? Give them all the necessary information so that their nerves are calm.
Okay. This could be a tricky scenario. Have you ever, as an engineering leader, encountered a situation where the mistake was like a direct result, like of a decision you made? It wasn't like, hey, this thing happened over here, but it's because of something I decided, this thing happened. And how'd you deal with that?
Yeah, so basically this situation where the email went out to all the consumers, there were team members who wanted to wait out a bit and review it with the other stakeholders within the company and then send out the email. Right. But due to other dependent timing constraints, I had to speed up sending out that email communication. And that caused an oversight to reviewing that email and while it was being sent out. So it's a direct result of the decision that I took to speed up the communication.
Yeah. Tell me about like how you dealt with that. Was that must be more difficult, perhaps, or less?
Yeah. So basically, when we realized what exactly happened, and I went to my senior leadership, and like I said, I was very transparent of what happened. And I gave them more information than needed, like all the details of why I had to speed up the communication and what was at stake if I didn't do the communication at that time. So I gave them that more information, and they understand what it is. But then how do we fix the issue, right? How do we do damage control? Because there is no way we can stand by the communication that was sent out, right? So in that case, what I did was I went to my stakeholders, which is in this case, my direct consumers. I told them, I started with apologizing and saying, being sorry for the communication that went out, and told them we could not abide by that communication and we will have to do a rollback mechanism. And I acknowledge, so I told them that, you know, I understand that there's a little bit of feeling low and they might be a little bit of upset by that rollback decision. Yeah, so this is how I communicated with my consumers and brought the situation under control.
Got it. I just want to say people have a lot of difficulty usually admitting to their mistakes. So you seem to be very good at that. You're very humble, you're not afraid to admit that. So I think that's really awesome. Do you have any strategies for managing stress on the team or people are under stress during the periods of these incidents or outages?
Yeah, basically, let's talk about the team itself, right? When these things happen, your team is more or less as much stressed as you are, right? So you as a leader have to steer them through that difficult situation. That means you have to show that resilience and say that we are all in this together, right? And we will get through. At this point, I don't think there should be any blame game in the picture. You could point out and think about what could be done better, like in an individual one-on-one situation, but not in an open forum. So your first should be to assess the situation, right? How bad is it? What exactly went wrong, right? And gather all the input that is there out there from your team, right? On how we can do damage control. And then most importantly, formulate. So by formulating a plan, you could take that plan back to your senior leadership and tell them that, yes, mistake happened. I own this, but this is my plan to fix it. And having a plan means that while you are doing all this damage control with your stakeholders and your senior leadership, your team is still continuing, right, to execute on that plan that you have in place.
I think that's great. I think people do react well when there's a plan, right? Like, here's the plan to recover. Could you talk a little bit about like your incident response and maybe what you learned about that? So for example, we work in software and we have on-call rotations, for example. We have people mm-hmm. to respond to these incidents. Have you learned anything there, or what have you learned in having effective like incident response teams or process?
Yeah, so we already have some incident response systems like PagerDuty and all of that. So when incidents happen, like people are notified, and that is how in our case, we were able to control the damage done. So it was not like the whole infrastructure was destroyed. Like once 70, we could stop it at 60 to 70% thing, right? But then I think what we realized was for that incident response to be effective, even before that, the processes were not tight, right? There's still some slippage through the processes that were set that caused these events and that caused these incidents to trigger. So that's okay. One thing we learned. And the other thing is when such incidents happen, instead of having a single channel of communication, have as many channels of communication as possible. Today, for communication, it's not just an email, right? You have your Slack, you have your email is there anyways, right? You can set up dashboards which show the health of the system and which are more detailed as to how much of a damage has happened, right? When incidents happen, make sure to set up all channels of communication.
I think that's a great tip. Yeah, because if you just rely on one, what if the person's not on that method? So they don't see the alert. How do you, so after you've gotten over the crisis, right? What do you do to integrate maybe the lessons you learned and prevent them from happening again? Are there any learnings, or what learnings do you have on that?
Yeah, well, let's start with the team, right? So after we pass through the crisis, it's very important to do the root cause analysis of why we got to where we got and what we could have done better to fix it, right? So based on that root cause analysis, I would suggest definitely we roll out new processes based on the learnings, change your strategy a bit, right? And also tune your mindset, which is a little bit of tweaking to the culture or your operating principles, right? So that's what I would do for the team, right? And for my stakeholders, when this crisis happened, there's obviously your trust is broken. So you have to spend time to rebuild the trust, right? Which means communicating with the stakeholders to say we are on the top of the game, right? And whatever channel you want that to be, but communicating that we are on top of the game, and most importantly, set the expectations for future. So this is what I would do with my stakeholders. And for my senior leadership, I would just say that, like, this is what we learned. This is the new process that we have set. And hopefully we will be able to mitigate such crises.
Okay. I'm going to talk about like maybe preventing crises in the first place. Can you share some thoughts, for example, on things, I don't know if you use things like chaos engineering or automation, stress tests, penetration tests, things to proactively try to find mm-hmm. these failures before they affect you?
Yeah, before, if you want to prevent failures, like you have to be proactive and do this, chaos engineering once in a while, at least in dev, right? Test, mimic your production environment, right? Bring it down, test what's the impact and what all processes or tests you could put in place to that, right? So that is one thing we will do. From the technical perspective, you could do a lot of things, but I would talk a little bit about the team itself and the culture that you set, right? So where this kind of ownership is not just one person, right? The team itself has to own this whole chaos engineering. What I mean by that is everyone is part of the team. They're contributing a bit to it, right? So they need to understand that they need to think where things can horribly go wrong. Right? What is the impact of their single action on the system as a whole? Right. So you need to, from the outright, encourage this kind of culture. Right. And so that they, when things are put in place itself, understanding like what are the repercussions of things going wrong.
I see. Okay. How do you manage, for example, doing proper documentation, knowledge transfer, like when you have these things happen? Right? To minimize the risk of them happening again. You have any best practices on how to basically create documentation that would help?
Yeah. So documentation is dealt like, you know, oh, this is that extra task that I have to do. That's the attitude. So I think we need to migrate away from that and set an attitude of it's part of your development. So as an engineer, you own the end-to-end. That also includes development, right? Just like you own testing your feature or whatever, right? So similarly, your task is not done until you have documented, right? So that's how you encourage good documentation. And once you get into that culture, you see yourself more often committed to that, writing documents and all that. Whenever these incidents happen, if we have a rolling document of all these RCAs and publishing runbooks of how to mitigate such situations, it helps a lot.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's great because to your point, a lot of software engineers think they're done when the feature is done, but you're saying no. They're done, it's documented too, it has to be documented. Hima, do you have any other thoughts on crisis management, dealing with these outages, anything else you've learned you'd like to share?
So one thing I would like to point out is whenever crisis happens, just keep in mind that you have to lead with compassion. Don't leave empathy at the door, right? No matter how much it impacts you, right? You are not responsible for it. You're not directly the cause of it. Right. But because you're leading a team and whatever they do, you own it. Right. When you go through this stress and this varied levels of anxiety, it's very important to lead with compassion and show that emotional intelligence, especially with your stakeholders. Because when things go wrong, it's only obvious that they will be upset, they will be angry. So you as a leader have to show that emotional intelligence and be that balanced leader, trying to the situation with your team, your senior management, and also your stakeholders.
I think that's great. I think to add to that, just staying calm is very important. And I remember, I'll tell you a story. I remember once, so I used to work at Walmart and we would stress out a lot about outages and stuff because there's big money on the line. Now, my wife is a nurse, okay? And one day she goes to me, it's really funny. You guys stress out so much about these, some web services down or something, more than we do about somebody dying. Okay. Like people actually die in the hospital and the doctors don't stress out as much as you do. So it's sometimes it's just a loss of perspective too of what's happened. And people do get very stressed out about these things. I know.
Yeah.
I've been there.
So during crisis, it's only normal. What people normally do is react instinctively and they just vent out all their stress. But I think it's very counterproductive. As opposed to being calm allows you to do the right things, do the damage control, and end of the day, it might not be as bad as you.
Unless you're working on some kind of medical or military thing, no one is going to die because of that error. So that's the good news. That's the good news about it. Hima, you've been super generous with your time. It's great to have you here and talk with you. If people want to connect with you afterwards, speak with you, ask you anything, what'd be the best way?
Yeah, they can reach out to me on LinkedIn, the link of which will be posted here.
Awesome. Again, thanks again. It was great to have you.
Thank you.